Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
It's a great time to live in Mississippi, and we're talking about it. Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. I hope you're having a great day today as we continue to celebrate so many wonderful people who are working so hard to make Mississippi such a great place to live, work, and play. Hey, listen, Singing River Health Talk is usually in the second half of the show, but today we're going to make it the first part of the show because I've got a really special guest, someone who has joined me before, and we'll get to him here shortly. And again, I think you're going to find it to be a terrific conversation. But also, I want to mention that about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had the opportunity to meet on Singing River Health Talk, and we had one of the leaders, Rashard Moore, for a matter of fact, join me, and we talked about the Singing River Healthcare Academy that's about to open up, and you know, this is really a state-of-the-art, innovative effort that they're doing. And what's going to happen is they're going to have faculty and student and graduates are going to all come together. And what they're doing is they're preparing the next generation of healthcare professionals through their hands-on clinical training and paid apprenticeship program. And they're going to have a really special celebration on, let's see, the date is August the 14th. And we'll remind you about that soon. It's going to be 4:30 to 6:30. At the Bienville location in Ocean Springs. So that's going to be the Singing River Health Leadership Academy, and the faculty is going to be there. It's going to be terrific, really, really terrific. Okay, so now let's shift gears. I'm really thrilled. When I saw this pop up on my my calendar for the discussion today for Singing River Health Talk, as we continue to celebrate all the wonderful professionals at Singing River Health System, I saw Dr. Michael Finan pop up. He's a gynecological oncologist. He's also the medical director at Singing River Health System Cancer Center and the chief of the women's health effort there at Singing River Health Systems. And we had visited before, back when there was a chance that Singing River would be purchased. Dr. Finan and I actually spent some time talking. He came over from the University of South Alabama. We'll tell you more about that here in just a second. But man, he has some very significant credentials, which we'll explain to you why that's so important. He's factually one of the only, if not the only, gynecological oncologist on the entire Mississippi Gulf Coast. So without any further ado, let me welcome Dr. Michael Finan back to the Ricky Matthews Show. How you doing, my friend?
Doing great, Ricky. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to having a nice conversation with you.
It's good. It's good to see you. And I really do. I have great notes of the last time you and I talked. But Singing River Health System continues to make extraordinary investments in helping you be as good as you can be at your craft, don't they? I mean, it's just incredible what they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. No question.
Okay. So you came over from University of South Alabama, as we and you and I talked about the last time we talked. The Mitchell Cancer Center has done some incredible work, but now you're doing incredible work here, and that's extremely important. When you talk to people about the efforts of the and you as the chief women's health at Singing River Health Systems, how do you talk about it? How do you talk about how substantial what you're doing these days is all about?
Well, the whole system is focused on quality and patient experience. I think that's the main message I'd like to get out, is the highest quality of healthcare in a very caring environment. And we try to do that at all levels. In my role, especially in the Cancer Center and for women's health, I think we've made a lot of progress.
Yeah, you have you've done that. And what's interesting, Dr. Finan, as I talk to professionals, doctors from every dimension of care at Singing River Health System, that is a I mean, you can't fake the empathy that I'm hearing from them, the caring that they have for each of their patients and the work that they're doing. And coming back to the investments, you have to emphasize that, because the kind of work that's happening to make sure you're on the cutting edge as far as technology is concerned, that's hugely important. And it gives you the ability to do non-invasive surgeries and all kinds of other treatments. But it's important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not an inexpensive thing to do. For example, we bought a new linear accelerator for the cancer center about a year or two ago. I think that was a $3 million piece of equipment that is the latest and greatest radiation equipment to deliver radiation treatments with extreme accuracy to very, very sharply defined areas to protect normal tissue, but to kill the cancerous tissue. The system also just bought a new robot, and that's another expensive piece of technology, a surgical robot, which is one of the tools that I use to help my patients. And absolutely incredible technology. But again, it's a $2 or $3 million piece of equipment.
So what I want to do is take a step back. We'll get into some of the efforts that you're involved in, which it covers a lot of different areas as it relates to women's health. You went to LSU. You got your degree. You got your medical degree from LSU. Did you always know you wanted to be a doctor? When did that occur to you that's the profession you wanted to do?
No, actually, I always wanted to help people, but I was actually afraid of the sciences, and actually rode my bike to University of New Orleans. That back in the old days, you know, not everybody had a car. So I rode my bike. I'd take the bus when it was raining. And I actually majored in accounting for 3 years. And I guess my plan was to become a CPA and go to law school, be a tax attorney. And I always worked restaurants and construction because that's where the money was. And the summer of my junior year, I had 1 year left to graduate. I have no explanation for it. I got a job in an accounting department that summer to try to network and, you know, try to make sure I could get a job when I got out. And I have no other explanation other than God tapping me on the shoulder and telling me to go to medical school. It was just a calling.
Wow, that's so interesting. Did you grow up in the city?
Yes, grew up in Gentilly, and rode my bike to Brother Martin, and then rode my bike to UNO.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, man, the time that I spent in New Orleans, we've always been an extension of New Orleans. Just this, you know, especially when we talk about the New Orleans Saints and just really the city in general. Even after Hurricane Katrina, we often said that in order for the Mississippi Gulf Coast to survive and to thrive in the future, New Orleans has got to come back. So we're connected culturally. We're connected. We're connected in so many different ways historically, for sure. But I always knew a lot about the city, but to go there and be publisher of the Times-Picayune and president of Nolan Media Group was a tremendous opportunity to really get to know the city from the inside. And you know what an incredibly resilient place. You have to have fond memories. I'm sure you spend a lot of time there still. But we are connected, aren't we?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think everybody realizes there's a unique Gulf Coast culture that's very, very different from the Deep South. The Gulf Coast culture is very welcoming, very accepting of anyone and everybody. And it's just a very warm, welcoming culture, great food, great music. And I think it does extend out from New Orleans and across the Gulf Coast. And so many people here have connections to New Orleans. They either went to school there or they have family from there. It is a very nice culture, though.
Well, I think the way you said that is really well said. And I have to tell you that the former executive editor for the Sun-Herald used to call it Gulflandia. And it was the area from the Florida Panhandle on over into New Orleans that we should have been a state, that group. as opposed to how we're aligned by states, because our cultures are so intertwined. But it's true, isn't it?
It is. You go 30 or 50 miles north, and it's very different. You're deep into the Bible Belt, which nothing wrong with that. My wife's from the Bible Belt up in Shreveport, Louisiana. But it's just it's a very nice culture that we have here on the Gulf Coast.
It really is. So you go to medical school. When did you know oncology is the profession you wanted to move into?
Yeah, so I went to medical school with my mind wide open, thinking I might be a general practitioner or a family doctor. Fell in love with obstetrics. Just delivering babies is an absolute adrenaline rush. I mean, it's a miracle every time a baby is delivered, really. So I was fascinated with obstetrics, actually. Had never even heard of GYN oncology because we didn't have the specialty at LSU Shreveport. I didn't even know it existed. Did my residency in Tampa at the University of South Florida. And then when I started dealing with the cancer patients and their families, I just fell in love with the patients. Even the meanest patient in the world tends to turn nice when they get cancer. And I just fell in love with the patients, and the technical challenges of the surgery were amazing to me, that you could open someone up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, let's do this. We'll pick it up right there on the other side, but we're visiting with Dr. Michael Finan. We'll see you after this break.
His passion and love for Mississippi is why he's here. This is the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. It's Wednesday on the show, so this is Singing River Health Talk that we usually do in the second half of each show. But when I saw Dr. Finan pop up, I decided to start the show with him and go three segments with him. Because he's got a great story. We've had the opportunity to visit before when we were talking about how much important work and why it's important for us to have a strong Singing River Health System. That was back in 2022 that he and I visited before. And this is an opportunity actually for me to really get to know him better. I knew he was from the New Orleans region, went to LSU, and he cares deeply about his patients. And we're having a much deeper conversation today than we had back when we visited back in 2022. But when we went to break, you were talking about what drew you initially, obstetrics, the miracle of delivering babies and being part of that process, and then understanding the challenges that women go through with cancer and the challenging situations, surgically and otherwise, that you deal with. And you were drawn to it. And at some point, you decided to dedicate your entire career to that. And that meant there was a lot to learn at that point, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's hard enough learning the entire field of obstetrics and gynecology. That's a 4-year residency after 4 years of medical school. And then on top of that, learning everything there is to know about women's cancer, which is the field of gynecologic oncology.
Yeah, when people think, and I'll talk about University of South Alabama often, and I had strong belief in them long before I became the publisher of the Mobile Press Register. But when I got there and started to understand, I got to know the president of USA at the time. He worked closely with us on the oil recovery efforts. I led the oil recovery efforts as a volunteer for Governor Raleigh. But as a result of that relationship, it brought me even deeper into the University of South Alabama and the Mitchell Cancer Center specifically. And you had tremendous experience there. You were there, I think, 4 years. But they're doing some good work there, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I was actually there 15 years. I was Cancer Center Director for about 4 years, my final 4 years there. But yeah, we've had tremendous success. I saw the place. I was there before it was built. You know, became very good friends with Abe Mitchell and Arlene Mitchell. I knew Mayor Mitchell shortly before he passed, is when I started there. But a great family that's contributed greatly to the university, and the Mitchell Cancer Institute itself has really provided not only incredible care to patients, but the education and research that they do is incredible as well.
Well, you got recognized by U.S. News and World Report among America's top gynecological oncologists. You earned that, didn't you?
Well, I try to do the best I can. I try to take great care of my patients and try to give feedback to the physicians who send those patients to me and have confidence in me. What can I say?
Yeah. Well, there's not more to say. That's a beautiful thing to get recognized as. Along the way, you had a ovarian cancer screenings test study that you were deeply involved in. But when you're involved in studies like this, it just keeps adding a level of depth to the dimensions that makes you, again, a better oncologist as it relates to women's health. But those kind of studies are important, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. That was a National Cancer Institute, NIH-funded study. So we did receive a $1.3 million grant. We partnered with over 20 institutions around the country to collect specimens for us that were all shipped back to the Mitchell Cancer Institute for us to do the science. We had a scientific team and a clinical team working on that. And the idea was to use pap smear fluid to try to screen for ovarian cancer. And we actually made some amazing discoveries. We have 6 patents filed and multiple scientific publications on it. It was fun. And private company ended up licensing that. And I think they're still trying to get enough data to go for FDA approval.
Well, that's really incredible. But I mean, when you're in the trenches of a study like that, that's when you learn a lot, and the opportunity to be innovative as it relates to those patents, it's not a surprise to me. But when you come over to Singing River Health System, and you're now in a position where you can continue to raise the bar. Talk about how important that is.
Oh, it's been a wonderful opportunity. I actually retired in 2020. When I turned 60, I had always dreamed of retiring young. And after about 2 months, my wife said I needed to go back to work. I was driving up crazy. But fortunately, leading up to my retirement, actually Singing River had heard I was going to be a free agent, and they had started to put their hooks in me before my retirement. So I started here really 5 years ago, and it's been a wonderful transition. Got a great team of oncologists here, a great support staff. We've done a lot of work to try to improve the quality of care that we deliver in the cancer center, and we've expanded. We started out with 2 infusion centers, one here in Pascagoula where I practice, one in Ocean Springs, and now we have one in Gulfport. Just our growth is tremendous, and the response from patients and families and physicians who send patients to us has been great as well.
Well, again, a testament to you and the team that you've been able to help build there. Let's get specific for a second. A special note about ovarian cancer, which is often called the silent disease, and too often women find out when they're in later stages. Let's talk about that. 22,000 women a year diagnosed. What can you say to women who should pay attention to this?
Well, I think they can be proactive, particularly if they have a personal history of breast cancer or a family history of breast cancer or ovarian cancer. There is genetic testing available. We started a genetic screening program here about a year after I started. About 10% of women with ovarian cancer have a genetic mutation as the cause, and that's the only known cause of ovarian cancer. Unfortunately, there is no way to detect it early, but if you have that genetic mutation, then you can have your ovaries removed after you have all your children, generally around the age of 40 or depending on your personal and family history, that may vary. But, you know, if you have that history, you definitely want to bring it up to your doctor and get that genetic test, or call us and we can do the genetic testing. It's a simple blood test. Takes about a month to come back, but it's critically important to try to prevent it, because there is no way to detect it early, unfortunately.
Yeah, and with that test, it is detectable. At least it gives you some good screening to look for it. And how often do you see yourself in situations with women? If they had been just a little more proactive, things would be a lot different than they turned out. And what's the message in that?
Oh, all the time. I tell you, the worst thing that we see is women who haven't had a pap smear since their last child, and they come in at the age of 45 or 50 with advanced cervical cancer. The majority of cervical cancer that we see is locally advanced. It's still treatable with radiation and chemo, but most women think if they get cervical cancer, they can just have a hysterectomy. But you really can't treat it with a hysterectomy unless it's stage one. And it's very easy to detect it at stage one if women get their pap smear. And then the other thing they can do to be proactive is make sure that they've had the HPV vaccine, and make sure your kids get it and grandkids get it. The HPV vaccine actually protects against 6 different cancers. It protects both men and women, so males and females should both get it. My twins, I have boy-girl twins that we adopted from Russia, which is a whole nother story. They're 28, but I had them vaccinated when they were 13. And it's just critically important to try to make sure that we get the word out about those things.
Yeah. Is there points in the treatment when you deal with these advanced situations, when you know if we had been more proactive earlier in the game, that do you get frustrated or do you get numb by it? I mean, how do you deal with it?
No, I really don't get frustrated. I look at every individual as, you know, every individual patient has their reasons for why they do or don't do things. I just try to treat what the good Lord gives me to treat. You know, if a patient comes in with advanced disease, I try to do my best. If they come in with disease that's caught early, then I try to do my best. I don't judge people. I just try to deliver the best care that I can, because everybody's got different reasons. You know, some women have family obligations. They're taking care of a sick husband or an elderly parent that needs help, and they put their own care off.
You want to try to give them as much hope for life as you possibly can. This is Dr. Michael Finan. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation.
Reminding you why we all love living in this great state of Mississippi. It's the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show. We're visiting. This is an extended version of the Singing River Health Talk today, because when I saw Dr. Finan's name pop up, I had talked to him back in 2022 about why Singing River Health System is so important to coastal Mississippi. And I checked my notes and I said, you know what? We need to give a little bit more time for Dr. Finan because of his work and his expertise and, you know, really his message, to be honest with you, for women about why it's important to be proactive. Because by the time, you know, someone gets to him, they've got cancer, and he's seen, you know, you cover the spectrum. He's seen it. We talked a little bit about diagnostics and all of that, but I want to get to the incredible realm of treatment options that you have available to you, but let's do this real quick. Talk about your team. How important is the team that you've assembled within the Cancer Center at Singing River Health System?
Oh, it's critically important. I often say that cancer is a team sport, and actually so is surgery. You know, the surgical team is also critically important. And, you know, it's not just treatment. but it's screening, prevention. A lot of people think of cancer as a terrible disease, and it is a terrible disease. But the truth is, I've seen a lot of good come out of it as well. And the team that supports us, not only in the cancer center, but throughout the whole health system, is important, critically important to getting things done. I'll give you an example. When I came here, we had a nurse navigator, and we had sort of pockets of support. But what we did working with the team, we brought all that support together under what's called a navigation team. And the navigation team includes a nurse navigator, a dietitian, a financial counselor, a social worker, and then physical therapy. And every new cancer patient who needs to see that team goes through what's called a navigation day, where they meet with all five of these excellent support staff. Because not every patient needs all that, but you take someone with head and neck cancer, they need a ton of support. They're going to need a feeding tube. They're going to need all sorts of help to get them through the treatments. And the navigation team is just one example of one of the teams we've sort of assembled to help support our program.
It is it's so important. We've learned a lot over the years about how to get the best possible outcome, how to help people find hope, even in their personal crisis. There is a huge role that hope plays, isn't there?
Oh, yes. And I tell you, I mentioned before that even the meanest person in the world most of the time turns nice when they get cancer. But cancer has a life-changing effect on people, and many times in a good way. I've seen it bring families together. I've seen it patch up relationships. I've seen it have some positive effects. You know, people come out of the treatment many times with a different perspective on life. They cherish and value each day. It's definitely a life-changing event for most patients.
And listen, Dr. Fine, I often talk about, and again, I'm writing about it, but the power of the human spirit. When when all the physical possessions and all the noise and storms of life are kind of wiped away, and you're left to the power of the human spirit, some amazing things can happen, can't they?
Oh yes, yeah, absolutely, and I've seen that as well. I like to make sure and give the caveat though that if the cancer progresses and the treatments fail and you're going to fall into that category, you can't. The patient should not think of it as they failed, you know, that they didn't hope hard enough or they didn't pray hard enough or they didn't have enough of a positive attitude. But yes, with that caveat, there's definitely a tremendous benefit to being hopeful, being positive, being prayerful. No question in my mind. I've seen miracles happen. I tell you, I've seen miracles.
Yeah, that's beautiful to be able to say, and you're certainly in the position to be able to say it. When you think about what's happened with radiation, you know, people think, you know, radiation treatment is just radiation treatment, but there's been some cutting edge innovation that has happened as it relates to that too, hasn't there?
Yes, absolutely. And the treatments now are radically different than they were 20 or 30 years ago when people used to get burned and get organs damaged beyond repair. The radiation treatments nowadays are extremely accurate. They can shape the radiation field in three dimensions to exactly the shape of the tumor so that you're attacking the tumor, but you're protecting normal tissues around it. And that technology was just not available even 20 years ago. It's called stereotactic radiation. And then we have all sorts of techniques to do very, very highly targeted, very small areas with radiation. It's really amazing.
Yeah, you know, I'll give you an example. We have a dear friend, actually, who had cervical cancer. She was treated in MD Anderson, but this is before the ability to do what you just mentioned, the stereotactic body radiation therapy. And so as a result of the radiation, she's really lived a beautiful life since, but she did have some damage as a result of it. And she's just, you know, learned to live with that. But, you know, you think about what's happening with graphic technology and 3D technology and again, this radiation therapy that you're talking about, the ability to, the precision treatment of cancers, what's happened over the last few years. And then you add to that the emergence of AI and robotics and what's going to be happening as it relates to all that. It really is going to, it is now, and it will continue to exponentially help your ability to get very specific, even on those advanced cancers.
Yes, no question about it. And you know, all that technology is incredibly exciting. It makes cancer a fun field to be in because there's always something new developing. But again, back to your earlier point about the importance of the team, you know, the radiation is a perfect example of cancer being a team sport because it's not just the radiation oncologist, it's the nurse, medical physics. Most people don't realize behind the scenes, we have medical physicists who have to design the treatment. We have dosimetrists who also support the design and delivery process. And then we have radiation therapists who are the ones who actually put the patient on the table, make sure that they're targeting the right target, and actually push the button to turn the machine on and make sure that it's done safely and accurately. So it's a whole team of people to get this treatment done. And that's the case in every step of every cancer treatment, whether it's infusion of chemotherapy or whether it's surgery, whatever we do, it's definitely takes a whole bunch of people to make it happen.
So yeah, and the technology, so building this team. Yeah.
What I was going to say is technology coming like AI and robotics and all will not replace the people, in my opinion. I think it's just going to offer us more opportunity to do more.
Yeah, I think it may help you increase the precision and all that. But, you know, that's the point I was about to make, that one of the things I'm hearing so loud and clear is that you coming to this, again, the only gynecological oncologist in Coastal Mississippi, you coming to Singing River Health System, what it did is it raised the bar for cancer treatment and diagnosis inside the Singing River Health System dramatically. But it wasn't just hiring one person that did that. It's building the team around it that gave you the capability to be able to very confidently say to women who might have been going to Houston or New Orleans or to Mobile that the Mississippi Gulf Coast is now a clear option for you. That's something that took a huge commitment, didn't it?
Yes, and I'm very excited to have been able to do that, and it's. We've actually been able to sort of mirror that by recruiting. We recruited a colon and rectal surgeon, which the system had never had before, head and neck cancer surgeon, which the system had never had before. So those also bring with them their own team of people to support them. So head and neck cancer surgery, gynecologic oncology, colon and rectal surgery, were all new to the system. I think prior to 2000, I don't think they really had any subspecialty cancer surgeons. So it's been fun.
Well, had them on the show. And what's been so interesting about the work that they're doing is similar to what you and I were talking about. It's simply that the investments in technology enable them to do very, very, very precise surgeries. Because as you know, getting to cancers can require reconstruction and all kinds of unique stuff. And having the technology to support you and the skill sets to be able to do it and the team to support you is what makes success ultimately a better out. You know, hopefully have more success. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll see you after this.
And now, back to more of the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. You can see why I wanted to allot more time. We had actually planned on doing three segments today. I'm going to go ahead and do the final segment because Dr. Finan, Michael Finan, who is the only gynecological oncologist in coastal Mississippi, and I have kind of covered the spectrum in terms of the really significant investment that Singer River Health System has made in this ability, not just to treat gynecology cancer, which we're talking about now, but other forms of cancer as well. This team around the cancer center, what we were talking about before we went to break, is really important to kind of focus on for just a second. That's been really important to coastal Mississippi, hasn't it?
Yes, no question about it. And it's not easy to assemble great people, but somehow we've been able to attract them. One thing we have in our favor is we have Keesler Air Force Base, which is kind of a feeder for us for talent. You know, these medical students, many times they'll sign up for the military for a military scholarship to pay for their medical school or even college and medical school so that they don't end up with a bunch of debt. And they end up coming here to the beautiful Mississippi Gulf Coast to pay back that time. Many of them owe back 4 years or 8 years. And then when they get out, they're embedded in the community. Their kids are in school here. And they just want to stay because it's such a great area to live. And it's off of most people's radar. So that's one way we've been able to attract so much talent. I didn't mention our thoracic surgeons. You know, we have two thoracic cancer surgeons that do robotic thoracic surgery. And one of them is a Keesler doc. You know, he's actually active Air Force, but he does all his surgery at Singing River because they just don't have enough volume they can't really assemble the team because they don't have enough volume of patients moving through to keep the team trained and talented and busy.
Yeah, that's actually been something that has been. For regular listeners of the show, they know I have zeroed in on that reality many, many times. The number of great doctors that are coming from Keesler Medical Center into the system. I mean, these are really top-notch physicians that have been extraordinarily well-trained. And, you know, we've been in the right place at the right time for them, and they love this community, and they're practicing here now. And when they're on the show and they talk about it, man, I mean, they really genuinely love living here, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we have, we've had a very nice relationship with the docs at Keesler and also the VA. You know, the VA, we love treating veterans. We see a lot of veterans, and the VA does not have a bunch of subspecialty surgeons and subspecialists like we have. So, We're fortunate to have the Biloxi VA in our area so that we can provide care to those veterans.
You know what's interesting? We've got about 3 minutes left, but I'll just bring a focus on this. We've talked over and over again throughout this show, over the number of shows that I've done over many weeks, about this patient first care, emphasizing compassion and quality and communication and all these things. It's interesting. I was having a conversation with an executive for the company that used to own the Sun Herald. We were talking about a particular leader that was really good at what he did, but he wasn't particularly nice all the time. And so it affected him as a leader. And she and I kind of related to one another that one of the most important attributes of a great leader, and I'll say it about a doctor as well, is the ability to connect with people. It's the ability to care about them. It's the ability to be nice and just let them see that what you learned in school about tender, loving care is a real thing, and the patients are better when they get it. But I can't overstate that, can I?
No, and I think it's not something you can teach people, at least in my experience. I think the ones who need to teach that are the moms and the dads at home when they're raising their kids. I mean, I attribute my personality and most of my talents to my parents and my family and the way I was raised back in New Orleans. But And I would say that, you know, just being close with our chief medical officer, Randy Roth, it seems like 95 or 98% of his problems come from about, you know, 2 to 5% of our physicians that just don't know how to play nice in the sandbox, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, but you know, it's just true. It's true in a non-physician world as well. I mean, it's part of dealing with people. And Dr. Roth does a terrific job. I've had him on the show more than once, but he does a terrific job of talking about this attribute. What I would call it within the Singing River Health System is a compelling, enduring value inside that organization that's driving it, and that's. That when you say patient focused, you really mean it, don't you?
Oh yeah, and compassion. You know, compassion is a key part of that. We, you can't fake compassion. You can't fake a lot of these attributes that we need to provide the highest quality care.
Yeah. Well, listen, Dr. Michael Fine, I wish we had more time. But I knew from our last conversation that we ought to give you a little bit more time today for good reason. And I appreciate you spending that time with us.
Oh, thank you. I've enjoyed it. And I'm just thrilled as can be to be at Singing River. I'm so glad that Randy Roth and at the time Lee Bond pulled me out of retirement. It's been wonderful. And I hope to continue my good work here.
God bless you, my friend. Listen, have a great day and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.